Good evening, and welcome to our midweek contemplative service. It is good to come together for this little oasis in the midst of our week and join together in silence and prayer, scripture, music, and community. Let's take a moment and join together in intention. What is it that drew you here today? What does your heart long for? Abba, we thank you for bringing us here to this sacred space of intention. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the silence. And we thank you for the opportunity to listen deeply. We ask your blessings on this service. May we receive what our heart longs for. In Christ we pray. Amen. The Gospel reading is from John chapter 5. Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." For this reason they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him everything that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Well, as I'm sure most of you know, we are deep into Lent at this time, past the halfway mark, moving towards Holy Week. And this passage, I've been reading it for the past couple of weeks every day, and there's so much in it, but I think it's really an important Lenten message to help draw us through our skinny spots. It starts off about now. Our Father is at work until now, and that now really jumped out at me. Why only until now? And what it struck me is that it's always now, and now, and now. And perhaps the Father's at work until now, because now it's time for us to pick up our cross and join in and do our part. So it really spoke to me about the need to live into each moment and to ponder what we're going to do with this Lent. I've been thinking about the things that I gave up. One was an attitude, one was a particular thing, and then I added on something. And all of them, really, the intention was to observe my mechanicalness around each of these areas and to increase consciousness. And I want to be awake. And what I see that this one does is it goes in between. There's kind of a pendulum swing of numbing out so that I don't have to feel the intensity. And then the other side of it is revving up. So numbing out and revving up, spinning faster and faster so I don't have to feel what's going on in a deep way. I can just spin or move right through it. So what I hear with this passage is that we're being called to pass from death, which is what I'm seeing this mechanicalness really is. It's choosing to check out on life. Or I can choose life. And Jesus came with a mission to show us what it is to live as an awake and conscious individual on this planet, walking on this earth in these bodies. And he really is the template of what we're intended to be. He came to show us our interconnectedness with the source and with each other. And we've heard from Bernadette that as it went for Jesus, so it goes for us. He knew the oneness with his source so intimately, and he was shown how to see with the eyes of love and to hear the word and to share the words that could touch other people. And this passage closes with the important part for me is always, so this is great, but how to? How do I get there? And he says, I can't do anything on my own, and I don't seek my will, but the will of the one who sent me. So that's what where we're going. I've had lots of good reading material during Lent, and it was hard to decide which to pull from, but I'm reading The Field of Compassion by Judy Conato, and I call it Ilia Dilio 101. It's a very understandable offering about really big cosmic ideas. And so I've got about 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about morphic resonance and the morphogenic fields. So she says in her chapter on morphogenic fields, the definition is a morphogenic field is a non-material region of influence that structures the energy of a system, with an example being the field around a magnet. Fields can't be explained in terms of matter, but matter is explained in terms of energy within fields. Matter is energy bound within fields. The human person is a field of energy and information rooted in the body, but extending out from the body, interacting with the energy and information of others. None of us is a discrete, separate unit, but an integrated system of interactions and relationships connected to all. What makes human beings unique is that we are self-aware. We have the capacity to notice and attend to the kind of energy and information we receive and transmit. Equally significant is that we can alter our energy and information fields by the choices we make. Using the image of the morphogenic field as a template, we can look at the mission of Jesus. Although he never would have used these words, Jesus was about creating a morphogenic field, one in which love is the standard operating procedure, and genuine concern for the other is the behavioral norm. Thought, words, and activity are to be molded by this loving concern, a way of living that comes from conversion from egocentricity to love. To me, that's exactly what this scripture was pointing to. My Father is at work until now. The Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. So Jesus created this field, and it's been passed down for hundreds of years. And these fields grow with the process called morphic resonance, where like goes to like. So the more people, the disciples, joined into Jesus' field, and then they shared, and their atmosphere was expanded. And it's gone on and on with others joining into this field and joining, connecting up with our source, and the field has grown. And right now we're in a time in our world where there's a morphogenic field of violence. There always is a morphogenic field of violence. There always has been. There's a field of power and control. There's fields of all kinds of things, but we are given the opportunity to expand the field that Jesus taught us about. And he says, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. And this I connect again with the now. It's not about death when the body is put down. It's about what we're doing here in Lent right now, of putting things down consciously, of choosing to let go of things that take us to mechanicalness and death, that take us out of life. Just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. So I've been looking at the different fields that I'm drawn into as ways of checking out of the choice point that Jesus tells us about, the things that take me out of center. I had my journey group right before this, and several commented on that, how hard it is to stay in center. We know that that's where we're grounded and stable, and yet it's so easy to get drawn out in reactivity with, as Peter talked about Sunday, our thing, whatever that may be, the thing that puts up the obstacles and seems so important. And I've been wondering with what I'm seeing in Lent, if I'm so much more awake with having let go of this particular little thing, why would I choose to pick it back up at the end of Lent? And a friend of mine in an email said, yeah, just 2 more weeks, and then you get the glass of wine back. And it's like, yes, the glass of wine. And then I'm wondering, well, Really, what's coming to me is all of this, motivation is everything. Father Keating said that repeatedly. It's not that any of these little things are in themselves bad or wrong. We're not bad people if we do them or good if we don't do them. But it's more about what's my motivation. And that's something that I'm doing a little different this time, is really looking at when I feel the temptation and the attraction, what's my motivation? And I find that there's some motivation that serves my deeper aim of relationship, and there's some motivation that serves my swing on the pendulums of numbing out, going to sleep. I just don't want to bear the energy anymore today. And so that's something that I want to continue on after Lent, is to take that pause, come to center, and wonder, is this going towards my aim of relationship, or is this self-calming and a choice to go to sleep and to be mechanical? In Lent, we're given the opportunity, as the work of inner Christianity teaches us, of conscious labor and intentional suffering. That's really what we're doing with all of our choices, dying to the field of distraction and to sleep and to violence, and moving towards consciously chosen love. It's a choice in each moment. We're choosing to enter a field of devotion, of prayer, of love. And we're extending Jesus' morphogenic field to this very place and time, here and now, on earth. My Father is at work until now. Now I join in and do my part. We've had a practice over the past month of slowing down, particularly with eating and seeing deeply. And what I'm finding is that if I can take that pause, then I have an option. I have the possibility of remembering my deepest core, my center, and making the choice to return to it. So that's another one of the practices that I hope to continue well beyond Lent. We're really invited to join into the flow at center of our being in that field of love, bringing in impressions, digesting them, being aware of them consciously, and offering them back to our Creator. It's a movement of transmitting energy and transforming energy. And that's how we get to join our Father now in the work that we've been invited to. I found that this passage spoke about awakened physical senses, our lower senses, our sight. And I had an experience, I've had several of them, of feeling like my sight, if I'm awake and alive, inhabiting this body in that flow, then that is God's sight. That is allowing God to see you and you and to come close to you. And it's a deep calling to work to see deeper and to hear the subtle vibrations that are present all the time. I'm going to close with an experience I had on Sunday. It was the most beautiful experience of P.A. Jesu that I've ever had. And it was beautiful because there was a field in this sanctuary. It was a field of essence. I was sitting directly in front of little Leo, who's about to be 7 months and was waiting to be baptized. And when P.A. Jesu started, he started cooing. And you could feel the aliveness. You could feel the energy. And he was just alive. And when they came up, you could just see him just plugged in. And that's what I felt, was that Every time PHSU is played, we're given that opportunity. It's a preparation for worship. It's a preparing our hearts to receive. And I felt so prepared that day because I was in such a field of love with that little one who doesn't know any separation at this point, who is pure love and joy and essence. And that is something that I wish to remember, to plug in. And we, as we get older, have to learn to contain that energy. It gets surrounded by personality, and then we're taught that we actually can use that personality as food for our essence. And so I'm at a point where I'm working with bearing energies, being able to sense them, and not to go out of myself with them, but yet to have that internal vibration alive. And I feel like that's really what Jesus is calling to us to do in this passage, is to connect up deeply in these bodies with our source and to come to life. So you've heard what I had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence and feel that aliveness of being. And feel our atmospheres that extend beyond these bodies. And remember the morphogenic field of love and compassion that Jesus came to show us, to invite us to be part of. May it be so.
And now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 20 minutes of centering prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and we know that you always hear us. It's you that are giving us words to speak, words to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray with that lets us know and be certain that you always hear an answer when we ask. And Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is a cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ for us all. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one, in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Thank each of you for coming to play in the field and to grow it and to do our work. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always. Amen.